Hello and welcome to The Late Debate with me, Audrey Carville. Coming up, medical cards.
I know it's not going to get better. I'm going to get worse. I don't think it's fair. Hard enough to deal with, you know, sickness that you have every day. You're only asking for what you need.
But if you're born with CF, you'll always have CF, unfortunately.
Yeah, they must have thought I was going to get rid of it somewhere along the line.
Medical cards, our late debate tonight after the news. It's read now by Eileen Whelan.
Good evening. A bankruptcy court in Boston has heard claims that the former boss of Anglo-Irish Bank, David Drum, made a mockery of the bankruptcy process and had displayed callous indifference to his responsibilities. The claims were made by lawyers who were challenging Mr. Drum's entitlement to bankruptcy. Here's our Washington correspondent, Katrina Perry.
Lawyers for IBRC and the trustee have spent all day questioning David Drum about how he presented his financial affairs when he originally applied for bankruptcy. They've questioned how he filled out those application forms, what he included, but more so what he failed to include. And he has admitted forgetting to include cash transfers he made to his wife. He has admitted transferring $1.2 million to her between 2008 and 2009. Those transfers started in September 2008, a time David Drum admitted today was a difficult one, when Anglo-Irish Bank, where he was CEO, had a plummeting share price and was facing government intervention. David Drum's lawyers have said that his case is not a run-of-the-mill case and his affairs are complicated.
The Taoiseach has said that even though the former Justice Minister Alan Shatter is technically entitled to a €70,000 severance payment, he would expect him not to take it. A decision to cease such payments was taken by the government in 2013, but the measure has not been signed into law. Deputy Shatter has yet to confirm if he intends to accept the payment. eBay has reported a hacking incident of one of its databases. It happened between late February and early March, and the company became aware of it 2 weeks ago. The affected database contained customers' names, passwords, email addresses, phone numbers and dates of birth. eBay is advising its users to change their passwords. There was no winner of tonight's lotto jackpot worth over €7.5 million. The numbers drawn were 5, 9, 24, 29, 31 and 42. The bonus number was 16. The weather forecast, many places will be dry tonight with clear spells. However, outbreaks of rain will develop in Atlantic coastal counties later, with lowest temperatures 5 to 9 degrees. After a bright start tomorrow, rain or showers will develop in most areas as the day goes on, with highest temperatures 11 to 15 degrees. And that's all for now. News again at 11, but now it's back to the late debate.
Eileen, thank you very much indeed. You're very welcome back to the programme. We're discussing medical cards tonight. Their withdrawal from terminally ill people, people with lifelong conditions, people who desperately need them. And with me tonight are Greystones-based GP Dr. Ciara Kelly, Fine Gael's Gerry Buttermer, who's chairman of the Oireachtas Health Committee. He's in our Cork studio. Here in Dublin, medical journalist Priscilla Lynch and Kevin Shortall, who this week began a campaign to ensure that every seriously ill child automatically gets a medical card. Well, this issue, of course, has been in the news for months now. Stories of person after person having their medical cards withdrawn, even though they say there's been no change in their income. Here are some examples, as told to Joe Duffy on Liveline over the course of 2 days last week.
I have Parkinson's for the last 15 or 16 years. I've had a medical card all along. It had been reviewed also periodically during the time. This time, it seems to be just a swamp of saying that I'm taking in cards to review them for some reason. And I was denied it this time. Now, in saying that, they said that our earnings have been above, over and above, which I don't understand. You know, it's very stressful. I was actually taken into hospital during the week with pains in my chest. You know, kind of thought it was just probably all down to stress. My Parkinson's, it's a progressive neurological disease. I know it's not going to get better. I'm going to get worse. You know, I don't think it's fair. It's hard enough to deal with, you know, sickness that you have every day and that you're going to have for the rest of your life. That you're only asking for what you need to live and function normally every day.
In my case, it was cancer, but I was up for review in 2013 and I had a medical card and they took it away. It was due to expire in 2016, but because I knew how to fight and get it appealed and everything like that and go to the consultants and go through all the hoops, I managed to be able to keep my medical cards. Takes a long time. It took me 2 months to kind of find out whether I'd worked, whether I was going to keep my medical card or not.
I filled out the form. I sent in what they look for, bank statements, mortgage details and all that. So I sent all that in and I had it in around the middle of March. So I didn't have any worries about this because my card was in my wallet and it's valid until July 2014. But unknown to me then, around Good Friday. No, it will be, yeah, Good Friday. I went into my chemist to get stuff, bank holiday weekend, to get medication to keep myself going. And look, the girls are very good to me. But they just asked me, have you rang the health board? Because, you know, they've stopped your medical card since the 21st of March. And we've been giving you out stuff and we won't be getting paid for it. And I was in shock. I said, but sure, they couldn't stop it because it's been reviewed and they have all the everything they need in there because it's gone since the middle of March. And I contacted the health board, the HSE. They then told me that we needed a letter from your doctor. And I said, that's fine. What do you want from the letter from the doctor? Mm-hmm. To say how sick I am, that I have cystic fibrosis, or do you have a standard letter? And they said, no, just send in a letter from your doctor. Then your CF and your medication.
But if you're born with CF, you'll always have CF, unfortunately.
Yeah, they must have thought I was going to get rid of it somewhere along the line.
Is that a miracle cure?
Yeah, you'd be ringing me as a miracle man. But anyway.
At 38.
Yeah, so they must have thought I got rid of it.
Three people there with Parkinson's, cancer and cystic fibrosis talking to Joe Duffy on Liveline last week. Well, earlier on RTE 6-1 News this evening, the Taoiseach Enda Kenny told Brian Dobson that the government is going to resolve this issue.
We'll fix this because the pendulum went from a point where you had, you know, 70% of discretionary cards being issued in one part of the country and less than 20% in another. The vast majority get their cards back. We will deal with this after the election.
Well, I have a list here, and I mean I can cite some of them to you. Alexander Coyle from County Wicklow. He's got a very severe syndrome. His medical card has been refused. A series of parents were facing a review of the medical card, so that creates uncertainty.
I've already said in the Dáil.
Why are parents being put through this kind of situation?
I don't want to see a situation where a review process requires that letters be sent out to people who suffer from motor neuron disease or whose children are Down syndrome, asking them has the circumstances changed or have they still got the challenge.
You don't want to see that.
I don't, and I won't stand
happening.
For that.
It's happening, and it's happening.
Yes.
It continues to happen despite the assurances that you
give. But I want to
give
you an assurance that we will deal with this in a changed review process after the election, and I think we said quite clearly you don't want to deal with it now because you'd be accused of
This was raised with you a year or more ago, and your initial reaction week after week in the Dáil was there isn't a problem here. Then I think you admitted perhaps there are some isolated cases.
Now, within a couple of days of the election,
you're saying yes.
What I said was that the law didn't change in terms of the assessment process for medical cards, of which there are different kinds. But the allocation of discretion, no matter how far you stretch it, doesn't work. So I want to see that that's dealt with, and we will see that it's dealt with, and we give those people and those children and the children of their parents who need medical attention, we'll
you
get
see,
that.
That's the Taoiseach Enda Kenny on the 6-1 News this evening. Gerry Buttermer in Cork. Gerry, you have been on this programme and others, of course, many times. And you, along with everyone else in this Fine Gael Labour government, have consistently denied that there was a problem with medical cards being withdrawn. How can this review and what's been announced today be anything other than an election stunt, 3 days out from an election?
Good evening, Audrey. First of all, none of us have said what you claim to have said. Medical cards are a very important social support that are meant to be and supposed to provide access for people who cannot otherwise afford their required medical care. It is outrageous that in some cases people have been denied access to medical card or to medical treatment on the basis of income and income only. What we must do in the system is to provide clarity for people, certainty on the basis of a medical need and also on the basis of what a person can afford to pay or have paid in terms of their income. Many of us who have been involved in politics and I as chairman of the health committee went to Finglas last week and have been engaged with the Department of Health and with the HSE over a number of months. What we must do is we must build a system that takes on board the person, the woman, the child, the man or the son who requires a medical card or medical treatment on the basis of their medical need, be it a disability or a long-term illness, so that they can receive from the state services, facilities, supports or aids or appliances. That's the first point. And if I can make this a second point.
I just want to put to you, Gerry, though, that none of us, I would put to you that nobody has ever heard anyone from this government stating that as clearly as you just have.
You mustn't be listening to
me, Audrey. I would suggest to you that the pressure has become so great in the lead up to this election that this is what you're getting on the doorsteps night after night after night, and you've been forced into this position.
No, incorrect. I mean, if you look at us as a country, 1.9 million people have a medical card or GP card. That's 42% of the population. And I live in the real world. And for me, a person's need must be taken and to account as part of the assessment towards achieving whether a person has a medical card or as part of the long-term illness scheme. And what we need to do as a society and as a country, as we move towards universal health insurance, is to have that debate about what it is we want our health system to do. And that requires an honesty on behalf of everybody, be it the doctor, the stakeholders, be it the politician or whoever, because we have as a country spent inordinate amounts of money, and the Taoiseach is correct, Audrey, and the facts are we have some before we centralise, and the Minister made the point yesterday that we have an unintended consequence of centralisation where the person who requires access is being denied wrongly, and that anomaly has to be redressed, where we must base this upon the humanity that all of us possess. But if I could just make this point, the Taoiseach is right, and we can't sustain a system where in some parts of the country, on the basis of clientelism and a wink and a nod, a person got a medical card, whether they needed it or not. And in other parts of the country, there was no medical card given. So we do need to have consistency and equality brought about to that system. But and I challenge anybody to say that can't be allowed to continue. And I'll finish on this point before we go to other panellists. What we must be about here is not about an economic system that forces bureaucracy to make cuts and to make a withdrawal of a person's medical card. We must bring humanity, compassion and empathy in what we deal with, along with the issue of fiscal rectitude as well.
But Gerry, you talk about the need for honesty, and yet week after week, when Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin and the Independents were raising this issue in the Dáil and asking members of your government to explain why discretionary medical cards were being withdrawn, the answer they kept getting was there has been no change to the rules surrounding the issuing of discretionary medical cards.
But the reality, Audrey, is under the Health Act of 1970, which is the primary legislation governing the medical card assessment, it's based upon financial means. And I accept that there are people who wrongly should have got a medical card and have been taken off them. And we must redress that in the forthcoming review of what happens. It is imperative and it's essential that we bring into our review process, by whoever it is, whether it's the medical officer or the deciding officer, a level of discretion on the grounds of the humanity of the person who requires it. And I fully understand that the person with MS or the person with motor neuron or the child or adult with disability, be it Down syndrome or whatever, that they don't go away. And I understand that because I know that full well. Mm. And we can never allow a situation to be allowed to develop whereby we just base a decision on financial means only. And that requires looking at the whole way in which we govern our health system. We're spending $13.2 billion on health per annum.
Yeah, but Gerry, this is where it runs into difficulty from your point of view. I mean, you're saying now that, you know, it shouldn't just be based on income. Yet you presumably voted with your party in the last budget to have a medical card probity scheme, which was going to save €113 million.
And I've also been on record in the Dáil last week of saying that in having probity, and I think we all accept we need to have probity, there's audits every day of the week in many different parts of society, and we need that certain audit.
Yeah, but voted through a measure which was going to result in people losing their medical cards.
We must recognise, Audrey, that in the Department of Health, it is not an ATM machine where we can keep putting the card into the wall and extracting savings from health without having a cost and an impact. And the point I will make to you is this. Hospital budgets have been reduced, and I won't take a lecture from Fianna Fáil or Sinn Féin, because Fianna Fáil presided over our country for 14 years where they poured billions into the health system, and it's in rag order as a consequence of what they've done. What we must do, and what we must do as a government and as a society, is to understand that within our health system. There are tremendous people working there. We must ensure that the service is safe, that the service is people-centred, and that there's humanity and compassion.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you now is your words now do not match your actions. And I'm putting to you again that you've been forced into this position 3 days out from an election.
We haven't been.
Because you're getting it on the doorstep.
No, we haven't been. And I've been chairman of the health committee, and we went to Finglas last week, not out of an election, but because there was a concern amongst all of us in terms of how the scheme is administered. And I'll challenge anybody to question the record of this government regarding health, because we have a reform programme in health which will bring about a single tier health system supported by universal health insurance, and that's where we're starting from the base in terms of the future health document, which sets out the step to bring us towards an improved health system. Now, I accept there's mistakes being made in the context of the delivery of a medical card scheme, but and it shouldn't happen. The minister used the term unintended consequence yesterday, and he's right. It's about the person, Audrey, and it's about the delivery of a system and a service that's based upon the person's need rather than solely on the income, which the Health Act is about income only.
OK, let me bring in our other guest then at this point. Kevin Shortall. Kevin, you set up a campaign this week called ourchildrenshealth.ie, where you want every seriously ill child to automatically get a medical card. Listening there to Jerry Buttermer, where he says, you know, there must be a compassionate approach, that it must be based on medical need and not just income. Are you reassured by anything you've heard there?
I'm not really. I suppose I agree with one thing, and that I would agree with him when he says that there are tremendous people working in the health service. I've experienced those people. There, it is full of those people. But I find it very difficult to hear the same words over and over again. We must introduce humanity, compassion and empathy. What people with medical cards and what parents of very sick children want is certainty. And I haven't heard anybody from the government say one thing that will bring about certainty. They're talking about we must start to feel a certain way, we must start to act a certain way. And that's why we at Our Children's Health want certainty. We want to change the law and grant an automatic medical card to every child diagnosed with a serious illness or with a congenital condition.
Regardless of their family's income.
Well, you see, it's about the children. If you get into income, you're going to have arguments. When you bring discretion in, you're going to have disagreements. Nobody disagrees with our campaign. Our website has gone through the roof. Every single person has contacted us, agrees with us. The website went down a number of days ago. We've been contacted by all the opposition parties. We've been contacted by all the independent TDs in the Dáil. And I'd like to ask...
Any government TDs?
No government TB. Well, they have acknowledged, one or two have acknowledged receipt of our letters. And I'd actually like to ask... Deputy Buttermer, he must be aware of this campaign, and he must be aware of the overwhelming public support for our campaign, and I want to know why he and his party don't support it.
Okay, because, well, let him
well,
answer.
I'd just like to say that okay. It would be an exercise in democracy to listen to what the people are saying.
Jerry Buttermer.
I think Kevin's point is well made. Many of us deal with people every day of the week, and we view them as real human beings who in some cases have lost medical cards who shouldn't have, and I think the point you're making, and I'm quite happy to meet you anytime you want to meet to discuss and to talk about the issues you've raised, and I have no difficulty with that.
But do you support the campaign that every seriously ill child automatically gets a medical card?
I think the government in its document on universal health insurance in bringing in free GP care for under sixes is saying that.
Hold on a second now.
If I can finish my point,
there are people who have long-term illnesses, who are on disability, who have chronic illness, and these people must be cared for, and their quality of their life and access to services and facilities, either through the medical card or the long-term illness scheme, must be looked at. And that was the point I'm making to you, is that we must look at and have a wider debate on the medical card, the long-term illness scheme, and we must deal with issues on a case-by-case basis, and we must bring certainty for the person and the families. And I know full well that there are families tonight who are worried when they got the letter in the post. They're concerned about the care of their young child or their adult child, for that matter. And what we must do as a government and as a society is to ensure that there are supports and services as part of our public health campaign for them, not just now, but in the future as well.
Could I just respond to that? And I won't ask a question. It's the same kind of answer. They're very interested and they really care. to listen to the government speaking, I mean, the minister has said that he's simply enforcing the law, and that's the problem. The law is being enforced. And the law is being enforced and people are losing their medical cards. You would, and he, the second thing he said is that he has a responsibility to the taxpayers. And I hear echoes of that in what Deputy Buttermer is saying. I didn't know that responsibility to the taxpayers was part of the Hippocratic Oath. You know, it seems as if there's a financial element to this. There isn't. Sick children, in the one of the fundamentals of health is that you introduce measures to help people who are seriously ill. Finance shouldn't come into it, especially in relation to children.
Gerry Buttermer, I mean, what do you say to that? Because you were asked a simple question. 30,000 people have supported Kevin Shorthall's campaign over the last 2 days. 40,000, sorry, Kevin. But you can't say at this point tonight that you personally, you as a member of Fine Gael, supports his campaign that every seriously ill child, regardless of their age, automatically gets a medical card.
I have always said that the needs of a person, whoever they are, must be addressed by the health system. Occasionally, the economic needs of a country collide with the real lives of people. And the reality is, we must deal with that. The medical card system was founded on the undue hardship test. And unfortunately, the Health Act of 1970 provides for medical cards on the basis of means.
Exactly.
This government, let me finish please now, because I'm not against what you're trying to achieve. This government, through its universal health insurance, through free access to GP care, is looking at the management of chronic illnesses on the basis of a person's medical condition rather than their ability to pay.
But Gerry, you know as well as I do that most people do not expect free GP care or universal health insurance in the lifetime at least of this government and maybe even the next government.
Well, we've started the stepping stone towards it and I accept that it will take a number of years. And in the meantime, let me finish, please. The job that we have to do, be it the government or be it members of the government and indeed all people, is to ensure that a person who requires the support of the state from a medical point of view is able to avail of the facilities, the services, the medicines, be it on the long-term illness or on medical cards.
Dr. Ciara Kelly, what do you say to that?
What I would say to that is it's nice, but it's meaningless. Unfortunately, we are in a situation where people cannot avail of medical services because they are lacking the resources personally and their medical cards are being taken away from them. The government are speaking out of both sides of their mouths all of a sudden, and I do think that's to do with the election, insofar as that up until very recently there was no problem with the medical card service, and then after that there was actually in fact no discretionary medical cards, we were told, and now that we know that there are discretionary cards, which of course GPs have always known, and that there is a problem, which of course we've always known, the government suddenly, you know, want to sort of fix it and it's all going to be lovely and they're not going to make a political stunt of it. But of course, that's what this is, even the comment that they might do it. And I think that you know, certainty is incredibly important to sick patients and that is lacking in everything that has just been said. The reality of it is when resources are scarce, which they are currently in health and throughout the rest of the economy, how you spend them is fundamentally important. And the tenets of medicine are to do no harm and to treat the sickest first. And we have moved away from this with health policy from this government. We have moved towards currently, you know, Deputy Buttermer brought up the under sixes. So I'm going to comment on that. Currently, we have under six children in this country that 52% of them already have a medical card. OK, 48, the more well off children, 48%. I'm sure they don't consider themselves very well off. But take my point that the more well off, 48% do not have a medical card. This government wants to give that cohort of people a medical card. And how are they funding it? They are funding it by the cull of discretionary cards from the very sick. There is no extra funding for the 37 million because it is part of a package of cuts to the health service. So there is no additional funding. They said that they will ring fence it, but that's not the same thing as additional funding. So where do they find the money? They are moving deck chairs on the Titanic. They are taking cards from the very sickest and giving them to those well under sixes. And I find it, frankly, astonishing that Deputy Buttermer would say that the government stands over their legacy in health in the lifetime of this government, because Currently, I mean, only last week we had the director, the clinical director of Beaumont, stepping down and resigning because of the unsafe practices that he would no longer stand over. Very recently, maybe 3 months ago, four of the clinical directors of our top tertiary Dublin hospitals stated categorically in a letter to the HSE that the hospital services were now unsafe because of cuts to the health service. I and other GPs like me are repeatedly saying it is now unsafe. We are on paper thin ground. HICWA is currently looking at the hospitals in the Midlands to assess them for risk. We had a situation currently in one of the Midlands hospitals where of the 15 SHOs, which are junior doctors that run their service, in one day, 2 weeks ago, six of them resigned at the same time. We are seeing a medical service crumbling. We are seeing patients suffering. And it is frankly galling to sick people to hear the waffle and nonsense that we have just listened to. We have a situation where if they want to do two things, they can do this. One is stop the cull of cards and stop that absolutely abhorrent policy of taking cards from our sickest people. And also throw out the notion that you're going to take the cards, number two, from those sickest people and give them to a cohort of well children that aren't actually looking for them. In fact, I have publicly gone on the record many times to say that I won't sign the contract for the under six, not because I don't want to see all under sixes treated, but I won't sign it at the expense of the sick people that they're taking the cards from. And my patients who have under sixes, who would in fact benefit from getting an under six cards, are supporting me in that. I have patients that stand to benefit, like my own son, who is four, who will get a card, who say to me, "Don't sign it, doctor. It's wrong what they're doing." I know of not one person that supports health policy currently in the way the government are trying to implement it. And I find it, frankly, disingenuous, to say the least, that Deputy Buttermer is trying to stand over it. It is trying to defend the indefensible.
That's quite a damning indictment, Gerry. What do you have to say to Ciara Kelly?
Well, I'm not going to engage in a war of words with Ciara, because she's here in her capacity as a GP, and I want to very much welcome the fact that the IMO and Minister White are in talks. I know that they've had a number of meetings to date, and I would hope that those talks will be productive and that they will be collaborative and that there will be a conclusion to it. Because the one thing I will say is GPs are very central and are important in the whole primary care setting. And I don't come on this programme to have a row with her, because this government is spending money on health. We are looking at changing the direction of our health system, because if our health system is perfect, then it wouldn't need to be changed, and there's a recognition that it needs to be changed.
But do you accept that you are, to use Ciara's words, culling people's medical cards to pay for free GP care for under sixes?
The two issues are separate. The government have allocated extra money separate to that, and I think it is important, and that's a separate issue. And let's, if you, on another programme, if you want to have that debate about UHI and the universality, then that's for a different agenda, because tonight we're speaking about medical cards, and whether she wants to call me, whatever she wants to, I'm not going to engage in personalities about it. For me,
I should just say, Deputy, I didn't call you anything
personality. You made comments, and I don't wish to have that row with you, because we are genuine about what we want for our country, be it in health or in the economy. And it's about, in my case, as a politician, representing the views of people. And I didn't do it yesterday or today about medical cards or the health system. I've been doing it on a regular basis. And that's why, as chairman of the health committee, we went last Thursday out to Finglas. The point I want to make is that there's a separate approach being taken regarding the issue of under sixes, and the money allocated is different, and so the two processes are unconnected. But I think what is important, though, is that all of us involved, be it the doctor, the consultant, the nurse, or the patient, that we come to give that certainty and clarity in regard to where our health system is going. And yes, there have been mistakes made in regard to medical cards. We accept that. But there has been no change in policy. And where you are wrong, doctor, is in regard to the discretionary card. There is no such thing as a discretionary medical card, as you know quite well. And the reality is,
I must have a lot of imaginary patients then,
The reality is, 1,925,342 people, 42% of our population, have access to medical or GP cards. That's almost 2 million cards in circulation. We are in the context of what you describe as discretionary cards, where people are in the need to have a card, there are people still with them. There are anomalies in the situation.
So are you saying they do exist that. Or that they don't exist?
But the reality is people can get emergency medical cards, people can get medical cards based upon a discretion. What I'm saying to you is...
So they do exist.
What I'm saying to you is we must use in the deciding of whether a person gets a medical card or not, not just income, but their medical needs. And what behoves all of us is that we collaboratively sit down to move to a situation where we do give certainty to the patient, to the person or the family of the disabled person who can't speak for themselves,
okay,
who's an advocate. And I won't take a lecture about what we're trying to do in health from people who are coming from their own viewpoint. And that's their prerogative. What I'm trying to do here as a legislator and a member of Dáil Éireann and as chairman of the Oireachtas Committee is to ensure that the person, the voice of that person is heard so that we can move to a system where the person is treated on their medical need.
But Gerry,
not
you accept that Ciara's
income.
On the front line.
I have no difficulty. I've met with doctors today and yesterday. I speak with health professionals and people who use the service every single day of the week. And I know better than more politicians about the health system and the health service. And I look forward to the day where we will have all of us, the patient at the centre and the core of what we do in the delivery of our health system, and that's what it must be about.
Okay, Ciara Kelly, do you want to come back on that?
I would hardly know where to begin, Audrey. I wasn't actually lecturing you, Deputy, but and nor did I insult you or attack your personality. I merely stated the fact that you've confused me slightly because I'm not sure whether you're saying there are or there aren't discretionary cards, but I certainly have patients that are on discretionary cards. The reality of it is currently health is in crisis. I think we are shouting this, all of us who work in the frontline, from the rooftops. The government was choosing to ignore it for a very long time till it became an issue on the doorsteps, and that is why we are hearing now from the government that there may be a change. Up until now, all we heard was denial of the fact that there was a problem.
No,
at all.
That's not correct. No, that's not being fair. No, you're not being fair there. No,
I think I'm being absolutely factual.
No, and I mean, the point I'm making is we must bring humanity into what we do, and I accept, as I said...
So you're going to change the law, is that right?
What I said was we must bring humanity and empathy and understanding into the situation where a person is assessed not just on their income, but on their medical and their... If it's a long-term illness or disability,
great,
that must be done. That's my viewpoint.
No, that's wonderful.
I've always said that.
And so the government is going to change their policy?
I'm not the minister. I'm speaking here in my capacity as chairman of the Oireachtas Committee on Health. I'm not speaking for the government. I'm speaking as a member of the Dáil and as chairman of the Health Committee.
So you're not speaking as from the government's perspective.
I'm not a member of government. I'm here as a member of the government TD, and I'm giving you my view, and I'm making the point to you that what we must do in regard to health is to look at how we allocate the 13.2 billion, how we look at how we can develop our system whereby the universality of the person is looked at in the context of them being treated as a person with an illness, be it long-term, be it with a disability.
Okay.
And it's about making sure that the priority is the need of the patient,
even if
it's difficult.
Can I ask you one question, Deputy? Do you think it is appropriate to give medical cards to 450,000 odd children under the age of 6 ahead of patients with chronic diseases?
What I'm committed
to
doing...
No, please answer that question. It's fundamental to what's going on in health at the moment.
I'll answer your question, Doctor, very simply. We must reform our health system. Our objective in delivering a health system must be that we can make sure that people, be they from the cradle to the grave, are in that age, in all those age categories, are able to be seen on the basis of a medical need, not on what their income is.
So, ahead of income.
And in the context of that, what I'm saying is, in terms of our government's reform programme in health, it's about a single-tier health system supported by the introduction of universal health insurance, whereby we will see an improvement in the health and well-being of the nation.
Okay.
But
no,
let me finish on this important now, please.
Well, with respect,
where
you're not answering the simple question.
I am indeed. Where
we have access
to hospital care, where we have free access to GP care by the end of next year, and where we see a management of chronic illnesses and where people are cared for on the basis of a medical
Deputy
need,
Buttermer,
on the
should
basis of
a healthy 4-year-old have a medical card ahead of a 9-year-old with cystic fibrosis? Answer that one question, please.
As I've said to you, the government are determined to ensure that the person who needs a medical card and who needs the treatment of the state will receive that. And the discussion.
Okay.
The discussion between the IMO and the Minister, Minister White, is ongoing.
Okay.
And I very much welcome the fact that there are talks taking place around that.
Okay, Gerry, thank you. I want to bring in Priscilla Lynch, medical journalist. Priscilla, you're welcome, as always, to the programme. The review that Michael Noonan talked about yesterday, there seems to be a lot of change apparently on the horizon. Do we know what any of it will amount to?
No, we don't. It's quite like the changes that Minister James Rowley himself suggested a few weeks ago about a potential third tier medical card, and then that suddenly disappeared as well. I think literally the government are struggling with this whole issue. It's been an unmitigated disaster the last number of months, and obviously with the elections on their doorstep, they're desperately trying to scramble around to assure voters that they will solve the issue. But there's been some just interesting points, I suppose, really made tonight. There hasn't been any change in legislation, but there definitely has been a change in policy in relation to discretionary medical cards. As has been explained tonight, the whole medical card system is based on eligibility, based on your financial means. So legally, the only cards that the government can actually really take away are discretionary medical cards. They've done a massive probity exercise across the whole medical card system last year and this year. So taking away cards from people whose income didn't come up to scratch. They've also raised the thresholds for the over 70s income as well. But really, it's the discretionary medical cards they have gone after. And I mean, that's become apparent from the cases that we've
and
seen.
And they're
there.
Valuable because you get free GP care plus your medicines.
And ancillary services as well. So there have been issues. I think Gerry Buttermer did make some valid points. There were issues that in some counties there was a much higher percentage of discretionary medical cards than in other counties. There did need to be a streamlining of the system. But at the moment, it just seems to be a very ruthlessness there, actually. And I don't think, can we say that it's fair that people who've been issued a card for 18 months, 12 months, suddenly 2 months later, it's taken off them. They're not told. It's being reviewed. They have a terminal illness, but they're being told it's not terminal enough because they haven't died within 12 months and their cards have been taken away. So, I mean, there is a ruthlessness there. But the simple fact is we should have known about this last December. And I don't think it really is a surprise to many of us who've been watching what's happening. We knew that 2014 was going to be potentially one of the most challenging years for the HSE and the health service in general ever. There has been about 4 billion taken out of it since the peak of the boom, and we've lost about 12,000 staff in the health service. So we, even James Roddy himself said that this was going to be the most challenging year ever. And the PCRS, which is the medical card system is based under it, was told it had to bring its budgets in line. And as long as people are unemployed and qualify by financial means for a medical card, there's nothing they can do to reduce the numbers. But they have in the last few months, because the numbers with the medical card were growing exponentially. They increased by about 48%. In the last, say, 8-9 years. And they have reduced slightly since the end of last year. We've finally seen a levelling off. And this is obviously partly due to the cull, as well as perhaps financial situation in the country improving. We do know there's been about 30,000 discretionary medical cards removed the last number of years from patients. Some of these patients have been switched to GP visit only cards. So again, the Deputy Buttermer is correct in one saying legislation hasn't changed, but I think our other two guests tonight here are correct in saying policy definitely has changed, as we've seen.
And can, Priscilla, the issue be divorced from the free GP care for the under sixes plan?
Well, I think it hasn't. And it's interesting that the free GP care for under sixes, you don't hear the politicians talking very much about that in the last couple of weeks, really, for the elections, because I think it's been clear that despite this being announced with great fanfare last year, and obviously cash-strapped parents would be delighted to have such care for their kids, but they certainly haven't grabbed it with such enthusiasm as they'd hoped, because really people out there see if there are people who need cards on the basis of medical need and are just over the income threshold, they'd much rather those to get the care than their under sixes. The whole tenet of the government's policy in healthcare is based on the fact that patients should be able to access healthcare on the basis of medical need, not on income. And the whole under sixes thing goes strongly against this. We're told that we're going to all have free GP care by 2016. The first phase of that was supposed to be introduced in 2012, as we know, which was chronic care illness. That wasn't introduced. It was delayed for a year and then scrapped last year. Then the under sixes was announced last year. And that was told that we were going to have that in by May, June this year. There's no sign of it yet, and it's not going to be in by June this year. It's quickly becoming apparent. So it can't really be divorced from that. I think a lot of people have pointed out, both patients and GPs, that would the government not consider putting aside the 37 million that it had earmarked for the scheme to put towards discretionary medical cards this year until finances perhaps improve? The interesting thing is as well, we were just told that there are talks between the IMO and the government. These are not negotiations. They're talks about talks. Legislation
has been published by the government and passed by the cabinet before Easter, the first phase. There's also been a draft GP contract, which has been highly divisive with GPs themselves. 97% of them surveyed said they would not accept the contract in its current format, and they haven't agreed to negotiations. What they have done, the Irish Medical Organisation, is meet Minister Alex White a couple of times to discuss putting in place a structure for these talks to go ahead. So there haven't been negotiations yet. And as I've said, it could take quite some time. So perhaps would the government, as some people have suggested, consider then putting the matter aside for this year, allow for those contract negotiations to actually go ahead and put the money towards the discretionary medical cards. There's also the fact that the general medical system itself, the medical card system, the contract is very outdated for GPs. The contract for the under sixes suggests a number of changes, but they haven't been negotiated or consulted on really with GPs in that matter. They were asked for their submissions and thoughts, but that has been about it. So a wider review of the medical card system and the services that should be provided. It's high time that that happened, particularly as we're looking at major changes in our health system with universal healthcare insurance. GPs could take on a lot more chronic disease management in the community. There's lots of diseases that aren't considered under the long-term illness scheme that should be. So again, why not put that time aside and actually negotiate? I think, though, some people are becoming increasingly worried now with the promise of free GP care for everyone by 2016. What will this mean? Because if we can't fund the current system, where is the money going to come from? And does that mean that by 2016, everybody will get free GP care, but there'll be no such thing as medical cards, and that only a much reduced portion of those who get free medications currently and free ancillary services, that will be drastically reduced? Because currently the state spends about $2 billion on drugs every year. A large chunk of that comes from the medical card system. So really, free GP care is much cheaper for the government compared to full medical cards.
Just put that point to you, Gerry, that Priscilla made there a minute ago about the $37 million that's been set aside for the under sixes. Given that it's unlikely perhaps to happen this year, would it not make more sense to put that money into the medical card system, the discretionary cards?
Well, this is extra money being put in by government, as you quite know quite well. What we are having and what we're seeing is, as part of the reform in the health system, we will have the public consultation in UHI concluding by the 28th of May. The health committee will hold public hearings in regard to the values in the baskets sometime in June. And I think the Taoiseach in your clip has said that we will solve as a government the issue and the problem. And he did make that point at the beginning of your programme. I understand, you know, unless people think that I don't live in the real world, I understand the frustrations and the outrage of people where they have had in some cases a medical card based upon you know, their medical need taken away. In many cases, that shouldn't happen. And what we must do, and I agree with Priscilla, and I made the point earlier, is that let us have a wider debate on what a medical card should be about and what the long-term illness scheme is about. Because if you look at the whole issue of long-term illness scheme, many people are entitled to drugs, medicines, you know, medical and surgical appliances and so on, free of charge. And for me, irrespective of whether I'm in politics or not, it must be about the person and it must be about their ability to receive the treatment and support from the health system of the state.
Okay.
And I don't want to in any way have a row with anyone on the programme, because I think we all agree on that. And it's about, as Kevin rightly asked, having certainty given to the families of many people tonight who require certainty and deserve that clarity to be given to them.
Okay, Kevin, you want in there.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, to achieve certainty, you need to change the law. Since the 1970 Health Act was drafted, there's been a huge amount of solo runs and changes of government. So, the bona fides of the Minister for Health might be genuine, but he might not be in government before he achieves his plan. In the last three administrations, there's been three completely different types of medical policy, and that's why we want to change the law. And just in relation to what Deputy Buttermer said about the long-term illness scheme, people with serious illnesses, an illness takes so many different directions. Mm. It's not like on day one you get a diagnosis and then for 2 years or 3 years you pick up your medicine that you pay for every month or every 2 weeks. Sometimes you have to see a different consultant. Sometimes you have to have a procedure. Sometimes you have an unintended consequence. I'll use my own daughter as an example. In the first 2 years of her treatment, she saw a neurologist. endocrine.
She was diagnosed with leukemia.
With leukemia in 2012. She saw a neurologist, she saw cardiologists, endocrinology, urology, so many ologies you wouldn't believe. At the moment as well, because chemotherapy causes a lot of damage to the muscles, she's going to need physiotherapy and orthotics. And that's extremely expensive. And when we found out she was going to need orthotics, we didn't have a medical card. And the person in the department said, "You're going to need a medical card. This is extremely expensive." So somebody said, we got a letter from the medical card section, one of the thousands of letters, thousands is an exaggeration, one of the many, many letters, confusing letters, and said, "You know, you can always get the long-term illness scheme." And it was the most disheartening thing. The people who are administering that, I feel sorry for them, because they're working from a law that doesn't suit them either. They don't even want it, I believe. And the system needs to change. And what we need to do is true. We need to introduce humanity in the system, but that's so hard to define. But we would love a situation in our children's health where when a child, there are children today in Ireland that have been diagnosed with a very serious illness. There are parents today who've been told by consultants that your child has a condition and here's the prognosis and it may not be very good. They may very well face a struggle with the medical card section over the next few weeks, trying to negotiate ridiculous amounts of forms, gathering together all sorts of things. I would love a society where when a child gets sick, that the people who administer the health service say, "I'm really sorry, what can we do? We'll bring you into the system and don't worry, we've got this." Yeah. Rather than the opposite of trying to rule people out. That's what's really frustrating about this whole thing. But the problem is that it only affects a very small number of people. And the people who are involved, the parents who are dealing with very sick children, they're stuck on a highway between the home and the hospital. They don't have the energy, they don't have the time to argue this. But what our Children's Health has done, and I'm not trying to plug the campaign, but what I am saying is, it's overwhelmingly demonstrated that people want a change, and a fundamental change, not a policy shift, not more words. We want a fundamental change that will last beyond this government administration, because health policy was all about co-location a few years ago. Now it's all about private health insurance coming in for profit and giving us all health insurance. Before that, it was about setting up the HSE. In 2 or 3 years' time, we could have a completely different system. So we want something that will go beyond this administration.
Did you eventually get a medical card for your daughter?
We were given a medical card about 2.5 weeks ago. We're not sure why. We can add that to the 10 GP-only cards we were sent before Christmas. The first 5, as a result of our appeal, it was a 19-month battle to get our first application sorted out. And then when we said that a GP-only card would be no use for our daughter, we were sent a month later another 5 GP-only cards. But we did get one two weeks ago. But the problem is that it's only for a year, and in the early months of 2015, we will have to go through the whole process again, because while our daughter's cancer treatment, please God, will be finished, there are other legacy issues that will need to be dealt with beyond her treatment. So conceivably, if this law doesn't change, but I'm very confident it will, we will have to go through this whole arduous, horrible process again.
May I say Kira? Something, Audrey? I think you made a really important point there about the physio and the orthotics. The ancillary services that Priscilla referred to, they're not minor things. When you have a medical card, obviously you get your free GP visit and then you get your medication at a much reduced rate. But it's those ancillary services that are very often only available to public patients. You can't even pay for these things because they don't really exist in the private service. But they are so expensive that it wouldn't matter who you were, they would be unattainable. You know. For example, if you don't have a medical card, you have no access to public physiotherapy, to the public health nurse and stuff like that. So if you are, or home help, for example, if you are an elderly person, and all of those over 70 cards are under review, if you are an elderly person and you lose your card, not only do you have to pay for your doctor's visit, but you mightn't go that often, that's okay. Not only pay for your drugs, that's €140 a month, whatever. But how do you afford the public health nurse to come to you twice a week that she used to come? How do you afford the 14 hours of home help that was the only thing keeping you out of a nursing home? That is not affordable because patients don't have the 1,800 euros a month or more to pay for those kind of services. Ancillary services, orthotics, physio, OT, those things are unaffordable. And the same thing in psychiatry, there's practically no private service available. So there are things that are attached to the medical card that are nothing to do with general practice, that are nothing to do with drugs, but that are incredibly valuable to very sick patients and are unaffordable for most people.
So what's your answer, Ciara? Is it that everyone who has a chronic disease or who is diagnosed with a terminal disease should automatically get a medical card?
I do believe that, yes. And I know that resources are scarce within health. Of course they are. But what I would say to you is this, Audrey. There are 2,500 GPs in Ireland. There are 2,500 primary care managers working in the HSE. I've never met any of them. I don't know what they do. We are like small businesses, so I don't know why we need these managers. So we have a fat layer of middle management that there could be rationalisation made in. We have an absolute manpower crisis in frontline staff, but we are top heavy with management. That could be looked at. But also what could be looked at is things like giving the cards to healthy children ahead of sick children. I find it immoral. I find it really difficult to work within the system at the moment that values health in that way. And I know many GPs currently who are actually thinking of leaving the profession because they're saying, I didn't get into this for this, you know, that I'm going to be treating well children and I have a sick child that can't afford to come and see me. And of course, I should say we do a lot of pro bono work. I mean, you know, I've had patients who have lost their cards who are terminal. We don't charge them. We see them for free. I think the government probably knows that and is sort of relying on the fact that's what happens. But it's wrong and it's immoral to treat people that way. We should be treating and caring for the sickest first. That is the function of a health service. If you don't treat the sick, you know, ahead of the well, then our whole raison d'etre is ridiculous. So, I mean, we have to prioritise spending on health. And if we have to make cuts, let us at least make them in the right places, which is not what is currently going on.
Kevin. Just like to say as well that Deputy Beaudemer said that the health budget is 13 billion. The medical card part of that is a much smaller part. And the discretionary bit, which doesn't exist, is a much, much smaller part of that budget again. And last week in the Dáil, the Minister for Health announced that following all the probity and all the reviews, 96% of cards were returned. So they are arguing and causing all this trouble over 4% of that tiny part that doesn't exist, the discretionary bit, 4% of that. I'd love to know what that figure is. I mean, you could assume, but it's only a tiny amount of money and it's causing all this trouble, all this debate. It's caused a huge storm for the government. It's really a silly argument for them to be having. I'm sure Deputy Buttermer, and I'm sure he's going to go home tonight and say, why did he have this argument? It's a worthless argument to have for what?
Mm. Do you agree, Jerry Buttermer?
What I agree with, quite simply, is that the HSE needs to ensure that we deal with people as people, first of all, and that we provide, as a health system, access to a full range of services and entitlements. I don't disagree with anything that has been said in the context of the need for access to services to be made easier and smoother for people. And you know, I've met with people who've got the letter from the medical card section, and there's pandemonium, there's fear, there's heartache, and there's concern. Just this afternoon, I sat down with people who were trying to get that medical card. And I fully accept that in many cases, the medical card should not have been taken away. We accept that. There must be a simpler, more straightforward process for people. And that process must be about this person, and the patient must be at the centre of what we do. I have no vested interest in the area of health other than to ensure that we have a health system that is functioning on behalf of the person who requires access for the treatment and the care. That's what I want to see happen from us as a government. And I think it is important that we allow, in the context of this, of the quote, the talks about talks between the IMO and the minister to continue. And I very much welcome that. And I have great faith in Ray Whalley, who's been very articulate in regard to what he's putting forward on behalf of his members, and in Minister White.
Okay.
I also have to say this, that if our health system needs to be changed, then that requires all of us to look at how we can change it to make it about the patient and those who need this care and attention of the state.
Okay, Kevin.
Yeah, I agree. But it's a bit like when the canvassers come to your door this week and you tell them about all your problems and they're going to agree with you no matter what. Yes, I agree, that road should be resurfaced. Yes, I agree. And so on and so on and so on. But it makes no sense in the context of the fact that we know that every single person, bar a few people in Leinster House and maybe one or two very extremes, want this change. And that's why we want to change the law. We can't say, oh, yes, we need to listen. I can't believe that we're having a debate and somebody from the government party is saying we need to introduce humanity into this. Does that mean we have no humanity up until now? I certainly have seen huge humanity among the doctors and nurses and staff in the hospitals. But the system that governs the medical card, there doesn't seem to be any humanity in it.
That was the point I was making, Kevin, is that in the process, the system mustn't be just about a financial statement. It must be about the person
and
their
needs.
But
what you're saying doesn't mean anything because you're saying what we agree with, but you're not saying what you're going to do. And that's why we're saying we need to change the law.
Well, the Taoiseach has said at the top of the programme that the system will be reviewed, that there will be a simpler process and that the issue would be resolved by government.
And the government and the Taoiseach said before they were in government they would do X, Y and Z, and some of those things happened and
you know,
some
Kevin,
haven't.
I mean, this government inherited a country on the brink. We are now creating jobs. We're getting our country back. There has been huge sacrifice made by the people. And what we must do now as a government is to ensure that the good work that has been done in collaboration with our people does not go for nothing, and that we have a country that is a country where we can live in, where we can retire in, and where we can have our children and our grandchildren working, and where our health system is about the patient and the person who requires that service and that system.
That's okay. Right.
And that's what I'm trying to achieve as a health chairman of the health committee,
okay,
and as a public representative. I come here with no vested interest. I speak for nobody,
okay,
other than the fact that I'm about the patient and the person who requires that care and that treatment.
Priscilla.
Last year, James Riley and the HSE were strongly rapped over not keeping within their budget. They were told to keep in their budget this year, despite the fact it was cut further. So they were told to do this by the government. And the only place that they can cut medical cards is discretionary medical cards in the HSE. So now they're going to be told to row back. So is there actually going to be extra money from government to actually help them make up the shortfall? Because at the end of the year, there'll be plenty of criticism again from the government about the fact that they won't be able to keep within their budget. The latest published figures from the HSE show that they were 55 million over budget at the end of February. This compares to about 40 million over budget this time last year. So, and James Riley admitted that 108 million in savings that hadn't been allocated are unlikely to ever materialise this year. And we've also seen that the Haddington Road agreement is in trouble in relation to health savings as well. So really, there isn't enough money in the health service this year for it to meet patient care needs, according to a lot of people.
And he sounded quite defeated yesterday when he was talking about this medical cards and the litany of people's stories that have been in the radio, TV, newspapers and so on. And he said, as a GP and as a minister, this is not somewhere where he wants to be. Is he close to quitting?
Well, he's back on the medical register. You need to undertake a certain amount of continuing medical education to be on the medical register when you're a doctor. So he's again licensed to practice. So
had he come off that register?
He was off it, yes, for some time because of obviously the onerous job that he has, the demands of the job as minister and as of TD. So who's to know? He's always said that he came into politics simply to reform the health system. He's not interested in taking up other portfolios, despite the fact that he is deputy leader of the party. If he does leave health, it will be probably to leave the government, to leave politics. He does have quite a large medical centre himself in North Dublin. So who's to know? But he said he's in it for the long haul and he's going to stay as long as the Taoiseach lets him stay, and that he's not afraid of the challenges or the criticisms. But yes, you can tell that he does sound quite defeated recently with all the issues that are happening. But again, as we've said, the money just isn't there. There's also wider problems with the medical card system that really, what we're seeing in the last couple of months, could cause further trouble down the line. GPs emigrating from Ireland, a lot of them. The fact that this is the very first year that the Irish College of General Practitioners failed to fill its training places because there was a lack of suitably qualified candidates and they've had to re-advertise. This is the first time that's ever happened. There are similar issues happening in the hospital system. So if we are to extend free GP care to the entire population, we're going to need enough GPs, good GPs, to actually provide that care. So again, if they want to implement this policy, really, they're going to have to take a step back and look at the broader issues in relation to recruitment and retaining GPs, making sure that the GPs that we have are the very best, because I think that has been acknowledged, whatever problems we've had in the Irish health system, that we've had some of excellently qualified candidates and consultants and GPs, but that's in danger at the moment. We're not really attracting them anymore, and people are emigrating. As we've said, I think Kira said there, a lot more GPs are emigrating as well. And again, the fear is there that with this free GP care for all, does that mean that people on, you know, standard medical cards with all these ancillary services could lose them in the next few years because of the actual pressures that are on the health budget? So yeah, there's a lot more work to be done. It's not just about the discretionary medical cards. As we said, legislation hasn't changed. It is policy that has changed, just a rowing back and trying to be obviously a lot more ruthless. But even the processing of the system being centralised, it loses that local personal touch that people have been used to in the past as well. So there are a lot of issues there, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
OK, final word to you, Kevin. How is your daughter at the moment? She's nine now.
She was diagnosed when she was seven. And that's why we launched the campaign as a tribute to her, because she's the biggest fighter of all. She can, if I can do this, she can do it 10 times over. She's very well. I hope she's asleep. I'll say hello anyway. Hi, Louise, and her brother Sam, and her little sister Jane, and my wife as well at home, Tracy. It's good to see them. Sorry for being slightly unprofessional there, but we're in it for the long haul. We're going to keep going until this changes. And if people want to log on, www.ourchildrenshealth.ie, sign the petition and demonstrate the will of the people of Ireland.
Look, thank you all very much indeed for coming in to discuss this tonight. Dr. Kira Kelly, Jerry Buttermer, Priscilla Lynch and Kevin Shorthall. We'll be debating mortgages and the housing and the property situation on the programme tomorrow night. So join us for that if you can at 10 o'clock. Until then, from all the team, good night.
The Late Debate with Audrey Carville was produced by Peter Hegarty. The broadcast coordinator was Maeve Mooney. The researcher was Barry Lenehan. And Kieran Dunn was on sound.